I have a 2.5-year-old son. Many of you know him. His name is Judah Brave, and he's a champion. I love him so much. And this week we were playing, and he always wants to play with his toys all the time. It's amazing, and I just love it so much. And we go to the front room, and we pull out of the cupboard these blocks, and he likes making these towers. But we get through these towers, and we try and build them as high as we can. And you know, with a 2.5-year-old, it doesn't last very long before really we understand what they're there for is not to build a tower, but rather to knock it down. And I was getting frustrated. I'm like, no, Judah, don't let, no. I was setting up. I'm like, no, this time we're not going to knock it down. We're just going to see how high, how cool would it be if we could build a tower this high? And he's like, yeah, knock it down. I'm like, no. We're going to build this tower huge. And what I realized is I thought it was actually the fact that he likes knocking things down. I'm sure it is part of that. But God gave me just this revelation as I was watching my son constantly knock down and rebuild and constantly knock down and rebuild, is that maybe Judah had it more right than I did in that instance. Because the reality is sometimes we want to build this castle or build this tower to be high so we can stand back and look at this is amazing. But what I love and what I think that God loves is not just building something, not just having something great, but actually the process of building. Not the knocking down part, but the actual process of building. I believe that God is a building God. He's a creator by nature. Have you ever wondered this? Looking at Genesis 1, why did God just not in a moment? Because we know he could. We know he's God, that he could in one moment, in one swift moment, breathe life into everything and create the seas, create the sky, create the stars, create all living in one moment. But he chooses to take 6 days, and on the seventh he rests. Because God is a creator who loves the building process, who doesn't just love the completion. Yes, he took back and he loved what he saw, but there was a reason why God took his time in creating. And if it is true, as the Bible says, that we are made in the image of God, then you and I are made as creators and builders. And there is something innately in us that is the nature of God, and that is to create and build. And my message today is building is better. Building is better. That God has called us to be creators, not consumers. And I really believe there's a challenge in 2018 in our world, in our human nature, that the world is putting everything before us, and there is a real challenge to wage war against the consumer nature of our flesh, to grasp a hold of the creating nature that's within God. God has not called us to just be merely consumers, but to be creators. I believe it's the reason why Jesus chose to be a carpenter, to make things and build things with his hands. And I still believe today Jesus is building things with his hands in you and I. God is a builder. He's a creator. See, when I walk into Costco, my little Australian mind 6 years ago coming to America just exploded. All the options, the microwaves that were way better than my microwave at home. All of the temptations, shelf, I went out, oh my goodness, look at this vacuum cleaner. It's so much better than my vacuum cleaner at home. This is a Dyson, and I can get it for only $150. This is amazing. And as I would walk through Costco, all of these options, the allure of the things, we drive past billboards. Man, look at that bald lawyer. He's so much better than my lawyer with hair. There's so many options in our face constantly tempting us to have this consumer mindset. And God's saying, no, I don't want you to have a consumer mindset. I want you to have a builder's mindset. I don't want you to have a consumer, an option mindset of, well, look at that microwave. It's better than mine because it has this kind of control and it's circular heat patterns that mine doesn't have. It's got a regular old microwave. And so what do we do is, in a moment looking at that option, we say, you know what? I think I'll have that. That looks a little bit better. I'll replace what I have with something better. And it's so true of our jobs. Man, I see a problem with my job, or I see something better, another opportunity, and it's like, well, maybe I'll just get a different job. My relationships, my marriage, well, here's a problem here with that. And if we're not careful, the consumer mindset can tempt us with the billboards of life as we drive by the Costco shelves of life and say, wow, that would be so much better. But do you know what's better? Building is better. Building is better. Building, working on that marriage, working on that job, investing, because, see, this is the image that God has created us in, is to build and to invest. And when we see problems, not to trade in for the better model, but say, God, I'm going to build. Not to, you know, sometimes we do that with churches. Sometimes we do that with, it's everything in our life. We see, oh, well, you know what? They've got kind of better, see, look, we've got concrete. They've got carpet. We've got, their screens don't freeze over that church. You laugh, but it's true. The reality is I want to challenge the mindset of right now is, how do you see the environment around you? Do you see it as a consumer, or do you see it as a builder? Do you see the problem with this and the problem with that as a reason to change, a reason to trade in, a reason to upgrade, or do you see it as an opportunity? See, builders see problems as exciting. Builders, creators see problems or a lack of something as an opportunity to put their handprint into the wet cement to say, come on, this is an awesome opportunity. Look at what it isn't. I can see what it could be. See, builders see what it could be. They don't see what it isn't or what it's missing or what it's lacking. They see it as an exciting opportunity. I want you to understand that your marriage, your job, relationships, we got to fight this disposable mentality. This disposable mentality. Well, it didn't work out, so I feel, even our callings, sometimes we're going to have a disposable mentality. Maybe God called you at a burning bush moment, an encounter, and you were sure, man, you heard from God. God's called me to do this. But then it didn't work out. There was a problem, and instead of seeing that problem as an opportunity, maybe you just went, maybe God's calling me here to do this. And I don't think that God's nature is in line with a consumer mentality, because he's a creator, he's an investor, he's a builder, he's a work it with his hands. He's a, oh, you've got a problem here, let me take some mud and let me work that into your eyes. Let me take it. He's a builder. He never gives up on anybody. So why do we give up on people? God never gives up on one. He'll leave the 99 to go chase after the one, but we have this disposable mentality. I've got 99 more. It's only one. Who cares? Is that the heart of the shepherd? Absolutely not. And I don't want it to be our heart, church. I don't want it to be my heart, church. If you know what? Oh, well, that person's gone. We can find another person. Let's just do a marketing campaign. That person left the church. That person is not now following God. I don't want us to have a disposable mentality. Oh, well, we'll just get more in somehow. Or we'll. Do you get what I'm saying, church? God hasn't called us to have a consumer mentality, but a builder mentality, to build, invest in a people. If you offend me or don't like what I believe or said this, then we disjoin. The body becomes disjointed, and we wonder with all our money, talent, ability, strategy, and wisdom why we can't even take a city, because we're thinking like consumers. It's about us, but it can't be about us. It cannot be about us. See, since time began, God's people, we've always struggled with this consumer mindset. In Numbers 11, verse 5, the Israelites are in the wilderness, and they're in a place of lack, and they start seeing the lack, the problem as really, man, well, why did we leave Egypt? They start thinking like this, and in verse 11 of Numbers, in chapter 11 of Numbers, verse 5, they start remembering the fish. We remember the fish. We used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all the cucumbers. Man, these guys are getting whipped. These guys are being forced labor. These guys are slaves. But yet, remember the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. Oh, doesn't that sound great? Onion and garlic. Woo! I love melon. I hate melon. Melon's the worst fruit. It's the fruit they put in to fill up the fruit salad. Just give me more watermelon and pineapple. and a few grapes, please. I'm sick of the melon. But yet they're like, come on, I want the melon. Leeks, onions, and garlic, we wanted, we had it all, we had things that we had, and they see the problem through the eyes of consumers rather than the eyes of creators. They see the problem through the eyes of consumers, a disposable mentality versus a buildership mentality. Leadership is buildership. When you sign up to lead and you say, God, you've called me to lead in my workplace. You've called me to lead in my marriage. You've called me to lead my children. What you're signing up is to have a builder's mentality. Buildership is something we've got to get into our spirit. See, building requires you to step into the grace zone. What do I mean by that? It means when you step into building, you cannot do it on your own. You need God's help and God's grace in order to build. You don't have all the things. I don't have the things I need. I don't have the smarts, the intelligence, the strategy. That comes from God. God, you give me the strategy. You give me the plans. You give me the blueprints to build, and I'll step into that. And what it does, stepping into the grace zone, my voice sounds hilarious. I'm sorry. I know some of you are laughing at the breaking points, but just go with me. I'm doing my best this morning. When we step into the grace zone, it forces us out of the comfort zone. And I want to encourage you, might be wrestling with this, because the thing is, what they were doing in the desert is they were like, man, I long for the comfort zone versus the grace zone. What does the grace zone look like? It looks like relying on fresh manna from heaven every day. That means I don't know where it's coming from. At least we had the garlics and the leeks and the melons, so I knew what it was coming from. And the consumer mindset longs for the comfort zone. Whereas the builder mindset yearns for the grace zone, looks forward to waking up in the morning knowing that every day is a miracle. A miracle. That every day is a miracle, that every day I'm walking in the grace of God. Why? Because I'm aligned with His mentality to build and not consume, to create and not consume. So God, I'm walking out of the comfort zone and I'm going to step into the builder zone, the grace zone that you've called me to. Don't long for the comfort zone, long for the grace zone. There's a story about a lady. Her name was Mary Anderson. And around the turn, it was 1903 was the actual date. Around that time, she was in New York City and she was on a tram, in a streetcar, as they're called. And she's sitting there right in one of the front seats. And at that time, it was freezing, as it is in New York, like kind of around this time, it starts getting really cold. And on that particular day, the driver was having a hard time looking out of the window because it was encrusted with sleet and snow. And what he would have to do at this point in 1903 would open it was two panes of glass. He'd push open the pane of glass and he'd get out either his hand or another device and he would scrape off the snow so he could see, but it wouldn't really even do a great job. And what it would do would open up the window and the whole tram would get blasted, especially Mary, who was sitting on the front seat of this tram, would get blasted with this freezing cold air and this snow-filled air. And she sat there in that moment, and rather sending a letter to the tram department of New York City saying, what are you doing? I paid for this ticket. I paid to sit here front row of the tram. Rather than getting frustrated, she turned that frustration into fuel. And she begins to sketch right there on that front row, freezing cold as the driver's trying to clear the window. Freezing cold, sees a problem as an opportunity and begins to sketch the first ever design for the windshield wiper. And Mary Anderson, forever ingrained in history as one of the great creators of today, patented the window wiper for the whole world. Wouldn't you love to own that patent? Every car ever made, bang, 10 cents, forever. The pattern of the windshield wiper, Mary Anderson, it took a builder mentality, not a consumer mentality. Well, what about my tram ride? What about my comfort? What about my comfort zone. I want it to be warmer in here. She said, you know what? This is a problem. I'm going to solve this. And she stepped up to the plate and she designed the windshield wiper. And as we're driving in Georgia with the crazy monsoon rains that we get, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create tropical windscreen wipers that go faster. Because who's been in rain where it's just not fast enough? And you've been down, you're driving 85, you're driving 400 at 75 miles an hour, and it's just not fast enough, and you've got people pulling over. There's a problem right there. Don't you do it before I do it. Thank you. That was a very passionate laugh. That's what we need. We need more like that. But I'm telling you, that mentality she had is so in line with God. The carpenter mindset of Jesus Christ, the creator mindset of God our Father, of, you know what? Rather than point out the problems, I'm going to use it as a challenge and let that frustration be fuel on the fire. Give me progress over perfection every day of the week. Give me progress. Some of us need to get that in our heart. You know what? It's not about being perfect. It's not about being things. How, you know what? God has called us to take progress. Now, the thing that I have a problem with is when things come to a halt. I don't mind if things aren't perfect. I don't mind if things have their problems. But when things come to a halt, that bothers me. Progress over perfection. See, consumers see lack as a problem. Creators see it as an opportunity. When there are too many consumers and the ratio of creators to consumers is out of balance, what happens is we end up devouring the provision that God intended to be used to build the vision. What I really believe God wants to do is he wants to change in our church and in the church, Big C, globally. He wants to change the ratio of consumers to creators, to shift them from being a majority consumer culture to be a majority creator culture. Can you imagine what would happen if builders rose up, there it is, in the church and we shifted the ratio? The amount of provision, the amount of new ideas that would come, the amount of the things, the problems that would get solved, the amount of, innovation excites me. Innovation will lead to acceleration. See, Paul was getting letters back all the time about problems in the church, here and there and everywhere, and Paul didn't throw his hands up in the air and say, you know what? Leave them to themselves. He dedicated his life to traveling, to writing letters to the church in Corinth, saying, come on, if you're dealing with this, this is how you change that. And he was leading the way and building the way. And he didn't settle for just the problems that overwhelmed him. He led the way in building. He was a builder. God hasn't created me to be a consumer. He's created me in his image to be a creator just like him. See, that's a message that I believe just prophetically just needs to, we just need to soak it into our heart and say, God, where is my place in my job, my family, my friendships? What are some of the things? And I even feel prophetically, when I was talking about that shepherd's mentality of the 99 and the one, well, who cares? I really believe that that was a Holy Spirit moment that was hitting. Of, you know what, though that person's not disposable. That relationship is not disposable. That job, it's not disposable. That marriage, it's not disposable. God is calling us to fight for the people that we see that are going through it, that are walking away from him, and say, you know what? You matter so much, regardless of what it is. Even if it means leaving the 99, I'm going after you. And it seems good to sing in a song, but when it comes to the reality, it is a challenge to the consumer mindset. It is a challenge to my comfort zone, because now it affects my Monday. Now it affects my dinner times during the week. Now, because all of those are opportunities to reach out and go after the one. All of those are opportunities. Come over to my house. What are you doing tonight? For us to get out of our comfort zone, start stepping into the grace zone and saying, God, use me to build into people. Use me to build into people. Not what can people do for me, but God, what can I do to build into others? And I promise you, when you start operating in that mentality, that is how God has called us. That is the place, the grace zone that God has called us to. And that is the place you'll be fulfilling your purpose. Your purpose is to build. Your purpose is, as in God's image, to create, to make a way for others. Would you pray with me right now? We're just going to, I honestly just feel to finish up there, and we're just going to go into a time of worship. I don't really have more to say. We can keep rambling on about it, but I just feel like it's a simple point, but it's a profound point. God hasn't called you to a consumer mentality, but a creator to be builders. And whatever that means to you, it's not me that's going to get that into your heart. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to get that into our heart. It's not more talking from Mark. It's not more preaching at you. It's not more having this conversation and breaking it down from other points. It's actually opening your heart up to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, where have I been a consumer? I lay that down before you. Where have I been looking at this or that? God, help me be a builder and creator. It's going to be time with the Holy Spirit that forges and forms that in our hearts. So God, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that as we lean into this morning, that you would help us catch your nature, more of your nature, more of your plan for us, more of your destiny for us. God, to be creators and to be builders in this place. God, that I pray we'd look at the problems, the things that we have contemplated disposing of or just moving on from or changing direction. God, you would cause us to look at that again closely. Look through that problem to find your will, to find your opportunity that's right in front of us, God. I pray that there would be so much innovation and acceleration in the church globally as we change the ratio right here in this place. God, let it start in our heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Just no one looking around with your head bowed and your eyes closed still. You see, one of the biggest things for me, when I found Jesus, one of the things that changed profoundly was it stopped being about me, because I looked at Jesus and I remember watching movies like The Passion, reading even as a child books and seeing Jesus hanging on a cross, and those images stuck with me as I watched God's only Son that was sent to earth to die for you and I, hung on a cross, beaten, bruised, whipped, worse than that. Died a horrific death just for you and I, because God so loved the world. And I remember seeing that and I said, how could I ever make this about me? How could this ever be about me? And I remember just saying, God, here I hand you my selfishness. I hand you my consumer mindset. I hand you these things, because if you were that selfless God that you wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane and you said, God, it's not my will, but yours be done. That prayer, not my will, God, but yours be done. It's powerful. It's effective.